More positive signs in the housing market.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's the Morning Open. Hello, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Accelerators, brakes, and now Toyota's looking at steering. Forget wise, are you more likely to be healthy if you're wealthy? That's later. First, where's Wall Street? Markets are up right now. The S&P up about a third of a percent. The Nasdaq 0.3%. The Dow higher by 34 points, 10,303. Farm equipment maker Deere & Company posted higher than expected earnings today. Shares are up 6.5%. European markets are higher right now as well, 1 to 2%. And Asian shares surged today, 1 to 3% in some cases. Word this morning that new housing construction rose in January, more than expected, for homes and apartments. We're going to get some analysis this morning from Richard DeKayser, president of Woodley Park Research. He's with us live from Washington. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
So a pretty good report. And I get confused, Richard, because I keep hearing, you know, the housing market's starting to turn, and aside from all these obvious gauges, real estate market, home prices, I mean, what exactly are we looking for to tell us things are getting better?
Well, the confusion is understandable. We've had some really terrible weather, and we've had a lot of volatility relating to various tax provisions, like first-time homebuyer tax credits, on again, off again, on again. I think the way to look at this is to try and get away from that month-to-month volatility. Look at moving averages, trends which reflect the underlying pattern. And what we see there is that, for example, on a year-over-year basis, housing starts are up about 21%, permits authorized up about 17%. And all the indicators tell us that we've hit a bottom roughly in the spring of last year and are eking our way up. So we're going to continue to read the monthly numbers and even the weekly numbers in some cases, but it's important not to get overly distracted by the distortions that come along the way.
What do you say, Richard, to the family who's upside down in their home, maybe nervous about keeping payments up, and they worry they'll never get for their house what they have in their mortgage?
Well, never is a very long time, and you know, that might be relevant for some people. People who bought in Nevada or Arizona at the very peak with a lot of debt may not come up above water for five or more years easily. But most people aren't that far underwater, and to them, I think there should be some encouragement, at least, that we've seen a bottoming in home prices generally. And every month that prices go up means that their equity is improving and the bank's collateral is getting larger. So the important thing here is the direction of prices for most homeowners, and those who are miles underwater, unfortunately, are just going to have a much longer slog to go.
Richard DeKayser, we thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.
On to the latest from Toyota. Now it's considering a recall of the world's best-selling car, the Corolla, for power steering issues. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson is with us live from our bureau in New York with the latest. Good morning, Jeremy.
Morning, Steve.
What is Toyota saying about all this?
Well, there was this news conference overnight in Tokyo, and the head of quality controls at Toyota said there have been a number of complaints about the Corolla. People feel like they're losing control over steering, less than 100 complaints here in the U.S. And Toyota thinks it could be due to problems with the braking system or the tires. The company says it's considering a recall, hasn't decided yet whether one will be necessary. I spoke with Dave Sedgwick of Auto Beat Europe, which is a daily newsletter for auto executives, and he said a Corolla recall would be a huge deal.
That's their money car. That's the default car for people who want safe transportation and they can't afford to pay a whole lot. If suddenly the Corolla is under the gun, that's really bad news for Toyota.
Jeremy, did the company address the much-talked-about accelerator issue at that news conference this morning?
It did, and it says that going forward on all cars around the world that are sold, there's going to be a brake override system installed, which means if you put your foot on the brake and on the gas at the same time, that the brake will win and the car will come to a stop. Also, Steve, one more thing. Toyota's president, Akio Toyoda, said he will not come to Washington to testify before Congress about the gas pedal issue. He's going to leave that job to the company's U.S. executives.
It's coming up later this month. Yeah, Marketplace's Jeremy Hobbs in New York. Jeremy, thanks.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
You're You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Wednesday, February 17th, 2010, at marketplace.org. A couple of oil companies and a heavy equipment maker are pulling out of a group working to get climate change legislation through Congress. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Jennifer Collins explains.
The lobbying group is called U.S. Climate Action Partnership. It's been pushing for a system of tradable carbon credits. That system would limit emissions, and it's become a key part of legislation in Congress. Heavy equipment maker Caterpillar and oil giants BP and ConocoPhillips announced they're pulling out of the group. ConocoPhillips representative Red Cavaney says the legislation is unfair for oil refiners.
You need to have a bill that treats each of the sectors and the segments right so you don't disadvantage consumers.
The legislation would protect utilities and other industries from the cost of their pollution, but Cavaney says it doesn't provide that same protection for refiners. Brian Herzog is with the utility Pacific Gas and Electric, which is still part of the coalition.
Everyone recognizes that achieving the goal is going to be challenging. I'd say, though, that we're no less committed to getting it done.
He says he's still hoping for climate change legislation to pass Congress this year. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
There are new signs luring customers into fast food joints around Los Angeles these days. They're not glossy close-ups of half-pound beef patties, though. They're plain white and blue signs that say, "Now accepting EBT." That's shorthand for food stamps. Reporter Vanessa Romo has more.
Things weren't always so dire for Maria Ochoa. She once owned a beauty salon, a house, and a gold Lexus. But now she's at El Pollo Loco eating her one hot meal of the day.
I always eat cold food, but I'm tired because sometimes we want some hot meal. And now that I know that they get EBT, I come here and eat hot meal.
EBT stands for Electronic Benefits Transfer. It's a debit card for food stamps. Ochoa, a woman in her 50s with red permed hair and polished nails, is now living in that gold Lexus. 6 months ago, she would have been hard-pressed to find a restaurant that takes food stamps. Now, El Pollo Loco, Domino's, and Jack in the Box are part of L.A. County's Restaurant Meals program. Lydia Urvidi oversees the program, which includes more than 500 restaurants.
Our goal is to provide healthy meals for the homeless, disabled, and elderly participants, especially the homeless, because they don't have a place to store food or cook.
Restaurant Meals is also paying off for those on the cooking end. Joe Stein is the head of strategy and innovation for El Pollo Loco.
I can tell you for 2010, just the way it's trending, we wouldn't be surprised if, you know, for company and franchise stores was over $2 million. From something that just started in August of 2009, that's pretty good-sized growth.
Good enough to interest other chains in joining the program, like Pizza Hut and Burger King. But food stamps still won't get you a Big Mac or Chicken McNuggets. Not yet, anyway. That's okay with Maria Ochoa.
With my blood pressure and my diabetic, I cannot eat too much salt and greasy food. That's what I prefer to come here.
For now, she's sticking with the grilled chicken. In Los Angeles, I'm Vanessa Romo for Marketplace.
A place of pilgrimage for thousands of Beatles fans could be in jeopardy. The Abbey Road Studios, where the group recorded most of their hits, might be sold and redeveloped. But Sir Paul McCartney is hoping the site can be saved. More from London, the Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
The Beatles were going to name their last album Everest, but they couldn't be bothered to go on a photo shoot to the Himalayas. So they popped outside the studio, had themselves photographed in the crosswalk, put that on the album cover, and called it Abbey Road instead. 30 years later, the future of the studio's in doubt. The private equity firm that bought the record company that owns it is in trouble and reportedly ready to sell. Paul McCartney told the BBC he's hopeful the studios can be kept going.
But I do know that there are a few people who've been associated with the studio for a long time who were talking about mounting some bid to save it. So I hope they can do something. It'd be great. All you need is love.
Not everyone's rooting for the survival of this pop music shrine. Local drivers complain about the constant traffic jams as Beatle fans from around the world come to pose in the middle of Abbey Road. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
question, are wealthier places really healthier places? Study out today from the University of Wisconsin and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation ranks counties by overall health and by wealth. We asked Marketplace's Gregory Warner at our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia to check it out.
The website ranks counties on health factors like smoking rates, preventable hospitalizations, and how long people live. Patrick Remington is the dean of public health at the University of Wisconsin. He helped write the study.
Everybody can compare the health of where they live to the community next door, to the other counties within their state.
Fun for the whole family. I asked the professor to look up where I live.
Philadelphia ranks dead last in health outcomes.
Philadelphia also has the worst socioeconomic ranking in the state. Meanwhile, 25 miles away is the state's healthiest county. Its commissioner, Terrence Farrell, answers my how are you like this.
I'm healthy. How are you?
Farrell says Chester County is also the state's wealthiest. Professor Remington's research confirms that a community's health is a function of wealth. Economic status is even more important than access to care, mostly because poverty is associated with lots of unhealthy behaviors. But if you're choosing between towns that do have similar income levels,
some places make it much easier to live a healthy lifestyle.
Choose the one with the bike path. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
And we have a link to the study at our website, marketplace.org. Finally, Indonesia, very serious about cracking down on defamation. A young woman was handed down a suspended jail sentence for posting insulting comments on Facebook. The 18-year-old was convicted of defaming a friend, calling her promiscuous on the social networking site. The argument was over a guy. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.